brutální vraždění v Gaze, údajná válka mezi Hamásem a Izraelem a absolutní zaujatost a ideologická předpojatost českých médií. O tom budeme hovořit v dnešním rozhovoru Britských listů. Máme v něm, je to velká čest pro nás, mediálního ředitele lidskoprávní organizace Human Rights Watch, Andrewa Strohleina, který v minulých dnech byl v Praze a hovořil tam s novináři, které se snažil přesvědčit, aby neblbli a psali objektivně. Nevím, jestli se mu to podařilo. Vyšel jeden článek na serveru Seznam zprávy, jeden rozhovor, který docela věrně prostě reprodukuje to varování, které České republice přinesl Andrew Strohlein. Už pod tím jsou ideologické a rasistické útoky. Budeme v dnešním rozhovoru Britských listů hovořit anglicky, ačkoliv Andrew Strohlein umí česky a také sleduje české záležitosti. Andrew Strohlein, you were in Prague at the beginning of the week and talked to journalists. What happened?
Yes, well, I talked to several journalists and commentators and observers, let's say. And, you know, I think there's, in terms of the questions I got in interviews and whatnot, you know, they were fair questions and challenging questions and, you know, completely normal, same questions that I get on these subjects everywhere. And, but, you know, talking to people, they explain, you know, there's a recognition that the Czech Republic is, you know, an outlier in Europe and globally on this particular issue for many reasons, and it's just the this plays a role in the way, you know, government policy has emerged in the Czech Republic and how the Czech government has been, you know, extremely one-sided in its condemnation of atrocities in Gaza.
Well, why do you think this is? You, in the interview in Seznam Zprávy, you actually said that there are certain historical reasons for this. Can you actually outline these? What do you think?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think we could write books about this, to be honest. But I mean, just as a quick shorthand, I mean, you could go back to a kind of an intellectual political tradition. That the you know, the First Republic of Czechoslovakia comes out of, that really included a kind of anti-Semitism of Masaryk and others, and we saw that, you know, in things like the Hilsnerova affair and other incidents, and kind of a proud tradition that way, and then, you know, in 48 we saw strong support from Czechoslovakia for the new state of Israel, including training and arms. Then we had kind of the flip side of that with a push by the communist regime for, you know, the other side, for the Palestinian side politically, and then after the return of democracy, you know, we saw kind of a maybe an attitude that, you know, to support whatever Palestinian aspirations was somehow, you know, seen as, you know, that's what the communists did, so of course that's what we don't want to do. But that's all kind of the politics and the political history of it, and maybe why, and probably 100 other reasons as well, that the Prague finds itself kind of where it finds itself. Like, from the human rights standpoint, where we are, you know, it shouldn't really matter what political side you're on when it comes to things like war crimes. When one side commits war crimes, they are war crimes. When the other side commits war crimes, they are war crimes. And war crimes suddenly don't become, like, acceptable just because, you know, your friends or your allies are committing them. And we need to see, you know, a stronger voice against atrocities generally, war crimes specifically, and a more even-handed approach, because this is, you know, the basis of international humanitarian law, that, you know, we apply the same rules and the same laws of war to all sides.
Well, what you have described is basically a condemnation of the Czech attitude, basically an ideological attitude of journalists and basically politicians, therefore. And as you rightly pointed out, Czech Republic was an absolute outlier in voting totally differently from everybody else in the United Nations. And there was even one mad Czech politician who basically said that the Czech Republic should leave the United Nations. But the point is that they don't seem to be really following the events the day by day, what is actually happening in Gaza, and they're just basically presenting this ideological view. I was quite interested in some of the racist comments under the article in Seznam Zprávy. One reader basically said, "Well, really, it's the onus is on them. Why don't they basically drive Hamas out?" I thought, well, I know it's 35 years, but I mean, Czechs with the experience of communism could actually understand that when you have an authoritarian regime, it's not really your responsibility to drive it out. So this is one thing. But would you, Andrew, actually point out what are the problems that the Czechs are, the war crimes, the Israeli war crimes that the Czechs are ignoring?
Sure. Well, I mean, just to take the one side first. I mean, the Czechs, the Czech government and other governments around Europe and elsewhere were very quick and right to condemn the Hamas and Hamas-led, let's say, atrocities of October 7th. I mean, these were brutal war crimes that they committed, including, shooting into crowds and taking hostages. It's all those are war crimes without question. I think, the international community generally was very quick and proper to condemn those. When it came to the response from Israel, I mean, there's a number of war crimes we could point to, but I think the one that is most obvious and very clear and kind of ongoing has been the blockade. So you're not allowed in international humanitarian law, the laws of war, you're not allowed to collectively punish a population for the attacks of the other side. So there are 2.2 million people in Gaza. About half of them are children. And there's no way you can tell me that all 2.2 million people and half children are responsible for the attacks of October 7th. They're just not. And so collective punishment of all of them, like cutting electricity, cutting water, or extremely restricting these things and food aid and so on, that's collective punishment. And that is, a war crime.
Well, I am also, if you follow what's going on, and when they, during the sort of pause in fighting, they started releasing some people from Israeli prisons as well. And to my horror, they were mostly children, although the media in the Czech Republic kind of ignores this. And then I've actually realized from reports by Amnesty International and others that actually Israel keeps in prison, using some kind of British law from decades ago, incarcerating children, 14-year-olds, for an indefinite period for crimes that they may or may, or crimes in inverted commas, may or may not have committed. I mean, like throwing stones at soldiers, or maybe just being there somewhere where somebody threw stones and you are then arrested indefinitely. I'm really absolutely fascinated that this is not reported. One other thing, Channel 4 News have been brilliant, as some of the other British media. They happened to be in the West Bank, and they actually noticed and recorded there was some kind of Palestinian demonstration about 100 meters from some Israeli soldiers. These soldiers shot into the air, the demonstration dispersed, and there was a disabled person, mentally disabled person, somebody, a young boy whom everybody loved in the village, a Palestinian, and he was left behind, and he kind of picked up a stone and threw it towards the soldiers. It was about 100 meters away, so he couldn't hit them. He then picked up another stone and third stone, and when he threw the third stone, the Israeli soldiers shot him dead, right? This is recorded on the Channel 4 video. The report is about 7 minutes. Only on Twitter it has been watched by 5 million people. I translated it for Britska Listy. It had about 1,000 views. Nobody cares in the Czech Republic. Can you explain this?
I think there's, I mean, we talked a little bit about the history and the political history of it, but I wonder really how much interest there is, you know, among the public for this issue generally, right? I mean, it's not like, I mean, one person I was speaking with, you know, was explaining it to me in Prague that you know, it's not like the war in Ukraine where it's near and it feels, you know, fresh and threatening. And you know, this is something that is kind of, you know, far away and people don't maybe care quite as much, combined with the media bias and the political bias. There's just not an enormous amount of public interest. You know, when there's protests in the street, they're very small in the Czech Republic, if at all. And you know, they may even be outnumbered by pro-Israeli counter protesters, right? So it's not like, you know, you see in parts west.
Well, this was again kind of distorted news, sort of 800,000 maybe people attending a demonstration in London, so Czech media would say, and the Czech social networks, oh, they are all Muslims. Obviously, Britain has been overridden by, it's lost. Britain is lost to us, to the West. Yes?
This is how the narrative plays out in the Czech Republic. I mean, and other, and not just the Czech Republic, but, you know, parts of East Central Europe, let's say. This is how the narrative often plays out. It plays right into the kind of, you know, Islamophobia and the anti-Muslim attitudes that have emerged, you know, in recent years. And yeah, you get this narrative of like, see, that's what we don't want. This is why, you know, this is why we don't want these people here. And so it's this mixing of Islamophobia and these kind of hatreds for foreigners, particularly Arabs, particularly Muslims, and just a completely different approach from a country that's, you know, let's face it, still pretty monocultural and doesn't have the kind of diversity that might bring some deeper understanding, nuance and balance to events.
I am conducting this interview badly because I should be criticizing you, and I am actually maybe more upset by this than you. But nevertheless, I will still sort of ask a question which some people might consider biased. I don't know whether it's that the people are not that interested. I would say that there are quite passionate kind of debates on the social media about it in Czech as well. But what seems to be the problem is that they seem to lack compassion. They seem to kind of totally ignore the human misery that is caused by any family where they would actually kill your teenager or whatever. And then there are 5,000 cases. And I am just wondering whether this is racism. And of course, this Islamophobia, which was introduced by President Zeman, has just basically caused the Czech Republic, is a victim of a totally constructed virtual reality discourse. But let's be critical. Some of the people are under that article in Seznam Zprávy are saying, oh, well, of course, Human Rights Watch is totally biased. It's financed from Qatar. Is that true?
It's not. No, like these people try to smear our organization all the time with this stuff, and it's simply not true. We never accept any money from governments. It's just not the case.
Well, that says no Spravi at the beginning. That article says, well, Human Rights Watch is well known for being anti-Israeli. Is that true?
Again, there are people who try to smear us that way. There are supporters of every single government that we criticize who say we are anti that government. So, you know, if there's a government in Ruritania, they have their supporters and they say we are anti-Ruritanian. It's just we criticize Russia and supporters of Russia say we're anti-Russian. And then, you know, we criticize, I don't know, Myanmar, and supporters of the junta say that, you know, that we're just anti-Myanmar. You know, and then we criticize Israel for its crimes. And there are, you know, people who are supporters of the Israeli government and say, you know, we're anti-Israeli or whatever. It's It's just a typical thing that all governments do, or supporters of governments do, when they're criticized by human rights organizations.
You did in the past point out that Israel is actually practicing apartheid against the Palestinians, and you were not the only ones. I think Amnesty International said that as well. Could you elaborate on this briefly?
Sure. Well, first of all, so everyone understands. I mean, apartheid is a crime in international law. It's not simply just referring to the specifics of what happened in South Africa. And really, what it is a system of domination by one group over another. And there are your rights within the legal system depend on your status. And if you're of one background, then you have a better set of rights, or a more fuller set of rights under the law than you do elsewhere. So some people, for example, get tried it for some whatever act of violence or even not, would be tried in a case, in a court that's a civilian court, like a normal court, but for others, they'll be tried in military courts, which obviously have where your rights are much less. So it's an entire system of suppression, repression that we've documented, Amnesty's documented, Israeli human rights organizations have also documented, like B'Tselem. So it's we're not saying anything that is kind of out of the ordinary there. It's pretty well documented. These are crimes, and there are officials who should be held responsible for these crimes.
Back to your visit to Prague the other day. So, how many journalists did you speak to there? And how many were even interested in speaking to you?
I don't know, but I was only there for about a day and a half, so I wasn't there for a very long time. Talked about six or seven, probably. Yeah, but in terms of like formal interviews, there was the one for Seznam Zprávy, and that's I think the only interview I'm expecting to come out. So the other ones were more like off the record discussions, and trying to have I mean, it's part. When I have these conversations with journalists, sometimes it's an interview where I'm giving Human Rights Watch's standpoint as a spokesperson, and other times I really just want to understand what the situation is, and so I talk to journalists and commentators and others, observers, just
And
about.
what did they tell you that the situation is then?
Well, I think they explained how things are very one-sided, and there's multiple reasons, and you get back to the historical and political reasons, but we get back to where, like, why is the country such an outlier politically? And that happens because the public is not well informed, right? I mean, that's clear. The media are really quite biased in one direction, and so the politics and the media are they're informing each other in terms of how they react, and how they respond to things, and how they define things, and the narrative they use to define things. And that means that the general public is not really informed in any kind of balanced way, right? So we learn about the atrocities from one side, and we don't learn about the atrocities from the other side. Or the victims of one side are humanized, right? And are accepted as their suffering is accepted as real, and the suffering of the other side is just not is dehumanized. It's not accepted as, okay, well, they are somehow lesser human beings, or they are somehow deserve it, or they are guilty, or oh, this just happens in war, and sometimes that's bad, when it's one side, but when it's the other side, it's not that at all. So what you have to do in all these situations, and when you start talking about the international humanitarian law and the laws of war and whatnot, you get to a kind of whatever legal level, but you really have to take it back down to a human level, right? Like, these are people who are innocent and suffering, and there are people who are committing crimes against them, right? And like I don't really care if it's side A or side B, right? They're still crimes. And the people who are responsible for these crimes should be brought to justice. There is an international criminal court case that would apply, case, international criminal court investigation that the prosecutor has jurisdiction here, right? For all the crimes that have been committed on October 7th and afterwards. So all of these crimes could potentially go to the International Criminal Court. And some countries in the EU, like Belgium, have supported the that all of these crimes from both sides go to or should get justice at the International Criminal Court and other fora. And that's what we need to see all EU member states pushing for, including the Czech Republic. Like, we need to see justice. And the Czech Republic's been, good in other places on human rights in places like China, but also on international justice in places like Ukraine. It's been a very strong supporter of international justice when it comes to Russia's crimes during its invasion and occupation of Ukraine. And why can't we see, that same kind of support for international justice from the Czech Republic in the crisis in Israel-Palestine?
Thank you very much. Andrew Strolin, Human Rights Watch. Vážení televizní diváci, děkujeme vám za pozornost. Naschledanou.
Ano.